buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Matt Neely, Matt Engineering and Producing on the other side of the glass. And Matt, if the weather service at the airport, the official station, doesn't get some rain out of this storm that's moving through here, something is really wrong. I mean, the measly 2 inches that they've recorded.
They need a bigger bucket.
They need a bigger bucket, that's for sure, because we're like 8 to 9 inches in the lower central foothills. So, and this is really going to probably, I'm guessing this has got to be a 2 to 3 incher that we've got coming through. Looking at that radar, it is just a steady stream of storms coming up from Mexico, but in the direction of the southwest. So that's kind of a different pattern for us. It's Friday. It's August 19th, 2022. The radio station 1030, KVOI, like K-Voice, the voice for trusted news and talk in the Tucson area. We have our worldwide live listening and our podcast going all the way back to the first week of 2011 at buckmastershow.com when we do our telephone interviews, which we will in a moment. With our newsmaker, those are presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Friday, we do our media shout-out, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith and his gang. Actually, Dylan's going to be in my seat next Friday as we take off for a while over to the Central Oregon coast. Should be really nice over there and finally cooler over there in that central area like Newport, Oregon. The Green Valley News and Santa Rita Sun, they support us. Dan Shear, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. With me in studio, my co-host today, always a pleasure to see Mr. Eddie Salaya of the Arizona Daily Star. Eddie has done 14 now. What is turning out to be a very popular national podcast about the cannabis industry. The name of the show is Hear Weed, W-E-E-D, Go. And Eddie also writes about cannabis for the Arizona Daily Star. Eddie, how are you?
Bill, I am doing well, and I am just so glad we've got a little moisture moving in through the area.
Yeah, and it started off, it was late arriving. A lot of people were saying, oh my goodness, I hope it's not a rerun of 2020, which was not only a COVID year, but a terrible monsoon, summer, rainy.
Non-monsoon.
2020, yeah. Is there any way we could just like erase 2020 from the books?
Yeah.
Terrible. Anyway, our Friday Focus interview today, we welcome once again to the show. It's always a pleasure to have her, Dr. Teresa Cullen, Director of the Pima County Health Department. Dr. Cullen, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having us again.
You know, 2020 was a horrible year, wasn't it? Just crazy.
Yeah, a year for the history books, as they say, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting. Yesterday, the CDC, from the top, actually down through all the ranks, they're doing a complete reset, I guess, sort of an internal look at what we need to do better communication-wise. I wondered, what's your take on what you heard out of the CDC yesterday?
Well, I am really glad they're doing this. If you look at a lot of the areas they want to re-examine and perhaps do better, they include things like what you just talked about, communications. How do we push out communications in a timely manner? So it seems like people and the public health groups are responding to information we know. And, you know, the other thing that's really important, and people may not recognize this, is they talked about moving from being totally academic to more public and community focused. What that should do is accelerate the ability to share new information that's coming in almost on a daily basis during COVID. Right now, we're seeing the same kind of information being generated around monkeypox so that we can, in some ways, get ahead of the news feed so people can believe the public health department. Sometimes I say to people, you know, I'm not sure what happened in the last 12 hours. I'm reading it in the paper before it got pushed out by CDC. So I think that that'll be really helpful.
Yeah, I also wondered, could you bring us up to date? What are the latest protocols? And of course, that's been one of the problems from the beginning, that the whole COVID protocols have changed kind of on a daily basis. Generally, I know that they kind of did a reset in that area too with what about, you know, the latest on masking? Could you kind of take us through what is the latest thinking right now?
Yeah, so these are really important clarifications, and sometimes it's as confusing to me as it is for others, but let's start with testing. If you're sick, you should test. You can use a home test or you can go to a lab. Once again, we still have facilities that are being sponsored by Pima County Health Department, so you can get tested in town regardless of your insurance status. If you are symptomatic and you test negative, buried in those recommendations is what we have been saying, is that you should test again in 1 or 2 days just to make sure that first test was negative, especially if you're using a home test. If you test positive, the isolation, that means I am sick, I've been diagnosed with COVID and now I have to isolate, has not been changed. It's still 5 days. However, obviously, if you continue to have symptoms, you should isolate, which means stay away from others for longer. The one major thing that changed was this quarantine. Remember, quarantining was for people that were contacts. So I'm ill, I live at home with my family. The recommendation was that people quarantine, that they mask and stay away from others to see if they're going to get ill. Quarantining has kind of gone a little by the wayside. I think from our perspective, it's still important if you've been around someone who's been ill that you wear a mask for that next 5 to 10 day period. Masking in general, you know, is not there anymore. We do say at the health department that if you are in large social indoor gatherings, you should consider masking depending upon who you are and your awareness of the people that are in that group, high vaccination rates or not. And finally, the last thing is vaccination. We encourage people to be up to date on their vaccination. Remember, fully vaccinated meant the initial series, either 1 J&J or 2 Pfizer or Moderna. Up to date means you've gotten the number of boosters that are appropriate for you to have. Over 50, you should have 2 boosters by now.
Let's bring my buddy in, Eddie Salaya. Eddie, go ahead. You're with Dr. Cullen.
Dr. Cullen, how are you?
I'm good. It's always good to hear your voice.
Thank you. So I want to focus a little bit on COVID there. As far as for kids or children, what's the current guideline for vaccinations for them?
Yeah, you know, it's that 6 months to 5 year that got vaccination availability over the summer. I will share with you that we've seen fairly minimal pickup in that group. Mm-hmm. We believe we've immunized about 5 to 7% of children that fall within that age group. The 5 to 12 year old, remember it was staggered, the 5 to under 5 to up to 12, and then the 12 to 18 year olds. Those groups are seemingly increasing their immunization status, which is what we really help as we go back to school. So remember that obviously the 6 months to 5 year olds are primarily not in kindergarten. They're in pre-K or early childhood education. There's no specific guidance coming out from the CDC other than, once again, if you're sick, stay home. If a member in your family is ill, consider masking, especially if you're going out. I do want to remind people, however, that, you know, one of the goals of public health is to protect the vulnerable or those more at risk, those who may be immunocompromised, those who are elderly. And so really dependent upon your family situation or your social situation, you would, in many cases, I think, decide to at least consider masking.
Mm. Can I offer a quick follow-up to that? Does the county have any idea what the, I guess, overall vaccination rate is of folks who have received at least one shot here in Pima County?
Yeah, we do have those rates, and we're one of the highest counties. If you're looking at just one shot and you're looking at those 18 and over, because remember, that's who could get vaccines all along. We're in the 90th percentile. Over 60, 65 and over, we're at 95th percentile.
Wow.
So we've done really well there. Where we're lagging is where everyone is lagging, which is in the boosters. So good primary series uptake. I always remind people that if this was the flu vaccine, we'd be rejoicing. We'd have a celebration that we had this kind of uptake. You know, the flu vaccine in a good year would get 50 to 60% of those eligible who are elderly vaccinated. So overall, we've done well. We're lagging, like I said, in that 6 months to 5 years. We're not unique. That's what we're seeing throughout the country.
What about the follow-up booster that's being talked about? What are you hearing?
Yeah, we're hearing that it'll probably come out this fall. We're also hearing, which I think is good news for people, is that at least we believe right now that the federal government will pick up the tab for that. You know, there's chatter in the news very recently that the federal government will at some point roll over the vaccination to the insurance companies and to people like the health department without funding for it. So at that point, we will be re-looking at what is our role as the health department to make sure people have access to it. But the good news about this new booster is that it does look like there's funding in the federal pocket to pay for that. As soon as it becomes available, we will make it available for the county.
Is it targeting the Omicron family?
Yes, it is. Hmm. It's targeting Omicron. And remember, Omicron, if you go back, started in what seems like a long time ago, December of 21. And then we've had these different waves, most recently the BA4 and BA5. Even though we call them that, they are still part of the Omicron variant.
I'm fascinated, Dr. Cullen, about what is it that is preventing, I don't know, maybe 3 out of 10 people from not getting COVID at this point. Now, if you dig deep into this, they say they haven't had COVID, but they could have been totally, no symptoms, asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. So what's your thinking on that? What do you think the real percentage might be?
Yeah, if you look at what we would call the ubiquitous of COVID, which means it's kind of all over, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows somebody that's had COVID.
Of course.
It's hard to believe that, especially with what we call immune escape. So people that are fully vaccinated and may have already known they had the disease once, there may still be immune escape. Your immune system cannot protect you all the time. I think the vast majority of people have probably had COVID. You know, you have to go back here, though. You know, it's been a long time, right?
Yeah.
2020, the year we talked about.
Two and a half years.
So it's been a long time. And it may be easy for people to forget, that cold they had in January of 21, mm-hmm. which they thought was just a cold, may really have been COVID. And I would remind people, remember early on, it was really hard to get tested. There weren't tests available. Up till May and June of 20, you had to get approval of the health department to get a test. Mm-hmm. So I think that during that time period, lots of people were scared and stayed at home. But I do think that there was much more infection that we were aware of. However, I do think there's a subgroup of people that have managed to not get COVID. And there's a lot of research going on in that group. What makes them special? What protected them? Really important long-term for us to try to figure that out, because maybe it's something that we can change in everyone. And we could figure out how nobody would get it.
Eddie, do you have another COVID question? Because I do too, before we switch gears and take the break.
I actually have a polio question.
Go ahead then, my friend.
Dr. Cullen, you've probably seen in news reports that in a few different major cities, wastewater programs, they've found evidence of polio circulating within. Is there any evidence that polio has reemerged here in Pima County or Tucson?
No, there is no evidence of that, but we know people are concerned because people are calling us about getting polio boosters and or trying to confirm that they had what we call the primary series for polio. If you're worried if you've had the primary series, you should ask your mom or dad or grandma. The odds are we don't have your pediatric records, but the schools, if you went to public schools, mm-hmm. you should be able to assume that you did get the primary series of polio, which is a series of four different doses. And some of us as adults, you know, I did a lot of international work in countries where there still was polio. So I actually had a booster as an adult. But the vast majority of people do not need boosters at this point.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. So much more for Dr. Teresa Cullen. And we will open up the phone lines at this segment, 790-2040, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Teresa Cullen, Dr. Cullen, is with us from the Pima County Health Department, where she is the director. Eddie Salaya is here from the Arizona Daily Star. And we're going to go now to the live line. Len has a question for Dr. Cullen. Go ahead, Len.
Yes, I have... Two Pfizer shots and two boosters. Do I have to get one in the fall?
Good question.
Oh, Len, this is a $20 million question, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume you're over 50, which is why you got two boosters so far. I think when the new vaccine comes out, which we just talked about, There will be a recommendation that you should get another booster in the fall. Now, when we talk about the fall, I don't know exactly when that is. I think that probably the earliest we're talking about is mid-September into October. There may be a recommendation that there is X amount of days between your second booster and this new shot. My guess is that'll probably be something like 60 days or 2 months. But I do believe that if your age is what qualified for you to get two boosters, the recommendation will be that you get another one.
Good question from Len. Len called
us
on the live line. Thank you, Len. 790-2040. Any health-related questions about COVID, polio, monkeypox? And before we transition to monkeypox, another question about flu shots and this upcoming booster. Would you recommend, Dr. Cullen, they be spaced out?
No, you know, there's no indication that we need to space the flu shot from any kind of COVID vaccination. So what I would say is that if it's convenient for you and the flu shot is out before the booster's out or before your next COVID vaccination's due, go get the flu shot. But if at the time you wander into some place where you can get vaccines and they have both and the timing is right, just get both at the same time.
Let's turn it over to Eddie Celaya, who I think may be setting up a question about monkeypox.
Oh, monkeypox. So, Dr. Cullen, I actually do have a question on monkeypox. What is the county's allotment of vaccines, and who is it recommending right now get vaccinated?
Yeah, this is a great question. So the allotment of vaccines, let me talk about that because it's a little confusing. You will recall when vaccines first came out, it was only one dose per one, what we call single-use vial. Since then, in the last about 10 days now, the FDA modified that to indicate that each vial you could get 5 doses from. So right now in the county, we have about 2,000 vaccines available, but we don't have 2,000 single vials available. We have 2,000 vaccines, assuming that we can get anywhere between 4 and 5 doses per vial. We have given up to today about 690 doses. Of vaccine, and the vast majority of those were single doses. We did have a what we call a vaccine pod, point of distribution, almost 2 weeks ago, at which point we gave almost 400 shots. And so you want to, what else? Eddie, what was your second question about?
It was I guess another question I have for you regarding it is how serious is monkeypox?
Well, I think if you get monkeypox, it's serious. There's been very few deaths, but it's a very uncomfortable disease. Some people get a very mild disease, just like people get with flu, but other people get quite ill. And that illness is really, they get a lot of the pox or the skin lesions, but they also get a lot of pain. If you'll recall when children get chicken pox, you remember how some kids just scratch all over and are really, really uncomfortable. You're throwing them in the bath. Tub all the time. It's very similar with monkeypox. It's somewhat unpredictable. And right now we have 23 cases that have been diagnosed. If you go to Pima County/monkeypox, you'll be able to see. We update that Monday through Friday, the number of cases we have. And we have a lot of information available there for people who might be interested in the layperson, so the general public, and also information specifically for providers.
How about those of us who have already had smallpox vaccinations, had the complete series as kids and the whole thing?
Yeah, this is a great question, and we've been asked it a lot. The recommendation is, even if you've had the whole smallpox vaccination in the past, which many of us over certain ages did get because it just quit being given in the 70s, if you are at risk to get monkeypox, you should still get the vaccine. We do not believe the smallpox vaccination gives you adequate protection against monkeypox at the current time.
Okay, Eddie, go ahead.
Quick question then. How is monkeypox spread? I know we've heard that It could be skin-to-skin contact. I've heard some STD talk. Give us an understanding of how it is dispersing.
Yeah, so there's two major ways it's dispersing. One is you're around somebody that had monkeypox, right? And you could be a contact and then you could develop the disease. So that's pretty obvious if somebody has monkeypox and you're around them. The other way it's spread, though, is somebody has monkeypox and you may not know they have monkeypox, and it's considered what we call intimate contact, which can be skin-to-skin contact and or sexual contact. We also know, however, that if a person has monkeypox, there is the ability for that pox to live on inanimate, a la sheets or other items like that. And so we are aware that there have been cases that have been spread that way. So it's not that there's been person-to-person contact. There's been contact of an individual with a person who had monkeypox's items, their sheets and other things like that. So the current recommendations are really to for individuals who may be concerned to do skin checks themselves to make sure that they have no lesions. One thing that makes it a little more difficult is that you don't have to have a lot of monkeypox. Just like you don't have to have a lot of chickenpox to have chickenpox. You could have one or two pox, and that still means that you have the disease.
For more on monkeypox, Pima County Health Department has a lot of information at pima.gov/monkeypox. All right, I want to transition back to Eddie, who does cover the marijuana beat, and he has some marijuana/health department related questions.
Dr. Cullen, obviously the state health department is who distributes the licenses for cannabis shops. Up in Phoenix recently, there was a case of basically illegal dispensary that was busted. If there were something like that popped up down here in Pima County, what is the health department's role in, I guess, number one, figuring out, hey, this isn't a legitimate shop? And number two, do they have any role in actually shutting down a dispensary like that?
No, Eddie, this is a great question. And as far as I know, we don't have a role in either of those. First off, we don't license, so we wouldn't know whether it was a legitimate license or not. So that would be up to the regulators. And secondly, in terms of shutting down something, we wouldn't do that. You know, we do things like food inspection, right? And we recommend, we work with businesses to make sure things are safe. But as far as cannabis distributors and shops, we have not had any engagement with them up to this point.
Another question I have has to do with the tax dispersal that the counties, and I believe you should have, I believe it was July that one of the dispersals goes out. What are those tax dollars being used for by the health department here in Pima County? And how much has the county received so far in these last year and a half now?
No, Eddie, I thought you were going to ask me this question. So I went and checked.
There you go. Yep.
So we have gotten three disbursements, but the third one I just found out about like an hour before the show. So the first two disbursements we got around, I think it's like $550,000. The disbursement that just came through was approximately $370,000. It apparently just hit our bank accounts yesterday, even though the dispersal was supposed to be, I think, June 30th, but whatever. That's about 20 to 25% more than the one that we got in December. Remember, it's twice a year, supposedly June and December. As of today, we have submitted to the county administration plans for what to do with these dollars. They're being reviewed with them. We do believe that one of the major guiders that we will have around this money is hopefully a community advisory group that will help us decide what to do. However, I may have mentioned this before, we really believe that we need to focus on youth and schools and work with kids and young adults that may be at risk for, you know, starting to smoke marijuana and or use other drugs. So our hope is that we can use this funding primarily for prevention as we go along. Now, the caveat to that is how much money there will be, right?
Yeah. I
don't think the taxes will decrease, which would mean people would quit purchasing. But we did an initial plan based on believing that it would be about $500,000 a year. If we get another 370, that means we're like up to over $700,000. One of the other uses for this money is justice reinvestment, and we have had discussions with our justice part of the county to see if there's opportunities there for appropriate expenditures of these dollars. But bottom line is, from a public health perspective, we want to use this money to prevent any kind of issues related to substance abuse and mental health.
And a question from a listener via the Facebook, and folks can always Facebook us during the show. One thing we have not covered, circling back to COVID, is kind of the update on where we are. It looks like we're still getting 70 to 80 cases a day that are reported, you know, to the health department. But frankly, everybody's doing these home tests. What do you do? Do you triple that number? What's your take on that?
Yeah, the CDC just reported our cases at 181 cases per 100,000. So remember, you got to multiply that by 10 because we're about a million people, which means we had about 1,800 cases in the last 7 days. That 7 days ended Wednesday, but just assume it's 7 days. The current thinking is that it's probably 3 to 5 times that number. Mm. So given that, we're still pretty high. I would really like to see that reported number, which is based on labs, go back to, remember there was a time it was less than 100 cases per 100,000. There was a case, yeah, that was time there was less than 50 cases per 100,000. That's really where we need to be. So we still are seeing a significant disease load from COVID in the community.
I would assume that was most of those would be reinfection cases too at this point.
Yeah, they're either reinfection or they're building that immune escape. They may be people that never had a known case of COVID and they've done everything right, right? They've gotten their primary fully vaccinated. Now they're up-to-date vaccinated, and they're still getting ill. The good news is, from a community perspective, is we are not seeing an increase in hospitalization, and that is why we are considered to be in the green on the CDC graph, if you follow that, because our cases are less than 200 per 100,000, and our hospitalizations are low.
Health department inspections is part of the job at the Pima County Health Department. Restaurant inspections, has the protocol changed at all? Has COVID changed the way inspectors look at restaurants?
Oh, this is such a great question. I would say no. And I want to remind people that our job as food and restaurant and pool inspections are really to work with businesses to keep people safe. So while COVID is out there right now, we don't have a mask, we don't have any mandates, we don't have a distancing in place. You'll recall for a while, remember when we had both of those. But right now, our goal is to really work with businesses, pools, restaurants, et cetera, to make sure that they understand infection control. And infection control means that there's adequate sanitary measures in place to protect not only the customers, but also the workers and everyone else that comes through that space. But we do it primarily from an education perspective. You know, perhaps sometimes it doesn't feel that way to the business owner or the people that are there, but we're not out there to try to get you in trouble. We're out there to try to identify what may put you at risk and to try to rectify it with you.
All right, Dr. Teresa Cullen, Pima County Health Director, thank you very much. Always a pleasure. A lot of good information. We always appreciate your visits. Thank you.
Thank you so much, you guys. I love being on with you. I hope you have a great day. Enjoy the rain.
Thank you very much, Dr. Cullen. We love having you on as well. I got a lot of questions for Eddie and not a lot of time after we take the break. We'll talk about the price of cannabis is unlike everything else with inflation doesn't seem to be going up. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. Like the bump music there, Matt, a little bit of 8 Miles High from the Byrds. All right, Eddie Celaya is with us. Eddie, one of his beats is Cannabis. Well, it's pretty much his exclusive beat right now at the Arizona Daily Star. It's a huge industry, getting bigger all the time. Eddie, we heard Dr. Cullen saying about that money that's coming in through taxes. Eddie also hosts a popular national podcast, Hear Weed Go, Weed, W-E-E-D, Go. 14 podcasts now, Eddie, you've done. Just cut a new one, didn't you?
Just did a new one. It is on consumption lounges, which are all the rage right now in California. And we have one here in Tucson by the name of Artabella on 4th Avenue.
Consumption lounges. What goes on beside the obvious of consumption?
Well, Artabella, which is unique, it's probably the only consumption lounge in Arizona that has a full bar as well. So you can step outside and have your joint as well as with a cocktail or a beer in hand.
Where can people find your podcast?
People can find it on Spotify, Apple iTunes, pretty much any of the major streaming platforms. You can find it on Here We'd Go.
A decade ago, Eddie, none of the 50 states had legalized marijuana for recreational use. That began to change in 2011 when Colorado and Washington led the way with adult use programs. I looked up some of these numbers. 19 states, Eddie, allow marijuana for medical or recreational use. Arizona would be one of those 19. 18 states allow marijuana now for medical purposes only. 10 more states allow products with non-psychoactive
non-THC
compound.
Yeah.
Then two territories and Washington, D.C. have legalized recreational marijuana. Now in Idaho, Kansas, and Nebraska, it is a different story.
You do not want to get caught in those states. I actually did a podcast episode about traveling both domestically and internationally, and one of the attorneys I had on specifically pointed out Idaho as somewhere where it's not Russia and Brittany Griner, but you will definitely serve some time.
The judge is really going to throw the book at
you. Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, and of course, internationally, we know how that can go. So people have to be very careful.
Basically, my best advice is don't bring any cannabis on your flight.
But even not just the cannabis, but how about products?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything derived from even some hemp-based lotions could get you in big-time trouble.
What about inflation with marijuana prices? Why are they staying steady?
So it's a multifactored thing. Some of it has to do with the pandemic, and growers basically figured that demand was going to be really big in 2020, and the pandemic happened. That kind of suppressed some of that. But unlike some other products where you can kind of turn it into something else, with cannabis, that flower just has kind of sat. So there was a huge glut of cannabis flower that is still being kind of worked through. So for consumers, it's been a pretty good time as far as like purchasing. Many of the prices of products have actually gone down since 2020.
And the demand continues to grow. We heard Dr. Cullen talk about she just looked at the health department bank account today, and then, hey, look, several hundred thousand dollars has gone into the health department from taxes. So is the tax structure changing?
It's not changing. As a matter of fact, I think she said she brought in a little bit more than they expected in this last one. That would not surprise me at all. Recreational sales since 2020, when they began, have gone up, I believe, almost every month since. That you might not be able to quote me on that one, mm-hmm. but it has been strong. You have seen a little bit of a dip in some states like California. New York is just getting going. But they have a little bit different markets than we do here in Arizona. Each state is its own kind of market contained within itself because there is no interstate commerce for cannabis. but in general, in pretty much every market, you're seeing prices either that are stable from 2020 or have gone down.
What I find interesting about all of this is the contradiction of federal cannabis law. Cannabis law, technically, in the United States, cannabis is illegal.
It is. That is another
this
thing.
This is like the states' rights thing.
It is. I think there are elements of cannabis getting rid of prohibition that appeal to kind of both sides of the aisle, both the left and the right. Mm-hmm. On the right, it is very like, hey, this is a
libertarian-ish.
Yeah. It's who is the government to tell anybody what they can and can't put in their body? Mm-hmm. And from that states' right issue, like, is who is the federal government to tell California or Arizona, mm-hmm. hey, this state that is bringing in record profits for you as far as taxes, you guys can't do that.
You had a piece in the Star about marijuana zoning laws, but the county has been really kind of strict about that, hasn't it?
So it had been up until this last kind of ruling about a month ago. They liberalized the where cannabis dispensaries and grows can be within the county. However, they retained a what they called a permitting process where the public will be able to come in and basically give their approval or not to a cannabis company or a cannabis dispensary if it does propose to open up within the city. And the only dispensary licenses that are basically open right now that could still find a space are ones that are on a time lock. They have 18 months. So if somebody is saying, hey, we're going to give you an extra 4 months that you have to go through a public process where you may or may not end up being approved for this, it could be that it chases those license holders away from coming to those sort of jurisdictions.
Kurt Prendergast was with me in studio. He's the opinion editor at the Arizona Daily Star, and he's covered the border and Mexico for years before he went over to the opinion page at the Star. I guess he went on one of your podcasts recently, and I asked him about smuggling marijuana has like literally dried up.
It is as close to nothing coming across the border as you can literally get. I think he did a great job of illustrating back in when he began covering the border in 2011, 2012, there were millions upon millions of pounds each year that the Border Patrol would seize. Sure. Now it's less than 100 pounds in a year.
Okay, again, Eddie, where can we see or hear your podcast?
You can hear it either at Tucson.com or any of the major streaming services, Apple iTunes, Spotify, the like.
Eddie, always a pleasure to have you with us in studio.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell coming up right after we take a break.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Tom Sullivan. Join me weeknights from 7 to 10 for the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
And away we go into the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You know, it's only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Start your planning now by visiting Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. There you will find all sorts of recreational opportunities for you and some great places to stay and eat in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Speaking of eating, here he is, Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist, food and beverage writer for Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Foodie. Matt Russell, Matt, how are you? Are you waterlogged?
I'm waterlogged. I've been watching the Buckmaster barometer working overtime this monsoon season. Yes, lots to be to celebrate with the precip. Yeah,
and folks that follow me on Facebook and bless all of you know that I like to post a little bit about weather. Kind of a weather hobbyist. So we've had 8 or 9 inches up at the house. So we're having a real good monsoon. Hey, it's birthday time for the city of Tucson.
It sure is. You know, it was August 20th, 1775, when Tucson was born. Yes, 247 years ago. I wonder what gas prices were like back then. And in a level of pomp circumstance that effectively suits the occasion, Bill, our city's very own birthday party will kick off tomorrow night at 6:30 at the Presidio San Agustin Museum on Court Avenue. So just imagine immersing yourself in mariachi music and folklorico dancing, live huayla music, lots of family activities and more. Plus, the one thing that I think represents the old Pueblo better than anything else, a taco bar from El Charo. So you can't celebrate Tucson's history without tacos. So gates open at 6. Admission is absolutely free. So swing by tomorrow to say happy 247th to our beloved Tucson.
Anything for beer lovers this weekend?
Yeah, you know, there's more on tap downtown tomorrow night for those who love a good brew. And that Borderlands Brewing Company on Tule Avenue, they're going to be hosting their annual Summer Night Beer Fest from 5 to 10 p.m. They're going to be serving up suds from nearly 20 local breweries. So check it out. Your $45 ticket will get you up to 20 3-ounce beer pours, as well as access to their convoy of food trucks. And if you pop for the $55 VIP ticket, you'll get 5 more pours plus a free Sonoran dog. You know, I'm definitely opting for the VIP package on that one. There's also going to be lots of games and live music, making this Summer Night Beer Fest the best yet. You can get your tickets now by going to iloveborderlands.com.
Yeah, now let's don't forget about the wine lovers, Matt Russell.
Yeah, you know, we got beer and tacos covered for Weekend Watch, but those who love wine are definitely not going to be left out. On Sunday night, Arizona Winery Tours will proudly present a food and wine pairing dinner at the beautiful Urban Grove on West Orange Grove Road. This will be a delightful evening of great food, exquisite wine pairings featuring a chef Pablo from Scratching the Plate and Tucson's own Old Pueblo Cellars. And each of the 3 gourmet courses, Bill, will be presented and discussed by both the chef and the winemaker. A seat at this table is only $110 per person, and that's all-inclusive. That's all the tax, all the gratuity, everything. So reserve your seat today, and you can do that by going to ArizonaWineryTours.com.
Got a big announcement on the Buckmaster Show concerning Matt Russell hosting the show in October. I think it's October the 14th. On a Wednesday, we've got Matt as the host doing an autumn harvest show. Speaking of wine, and we've got some really terrific vintners. That Sonoyta area has now developed into a world-class wine area.
No, it sure has. I mean, it's one of the things that has put our area on the map. And, you know, the days are gone when there was just a handful of legitimate wine regions in the country. And Arizona wines are winning, you know, some of the top awards in the industry, going up against these big boys in the industry. So I love what our Arizona vintners are doing. And when I do occupy the coveted host seat for the Buckmaster Show, we're going to be digging into the season. I think fall is one of the most delicious seasons of the year, and there's going to be much to celebrate with the harvest and everything making food and beverage news. Bill, I love doing your show while you're out of town. And I can say you can leave town whenever you want. I got you covered.
Thank you very much, Matt. Have a great weekend and try to stay dry.
Yeah, I'll do my best. Thank
you. All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of our program. My thanks to Matt for doing a great job. Matt Neely, engineering and producing the show. On behalf of everybody here at Bustos Media Tucson, have a safe and a very nice weekend.